be on some of the same line as Wednesday. You'll just have to, if you weren't, you get a chance to go back to the website, listen to the message from Wednesday night. What a great opportunity to have been here this morning. I got logged up in some traffic down in Chattanooga, so I listened to the message on the way back this morning. So y'all had a blessed service. That sounded great. Wish we could have been here. But had a great opportunity to go back to the church that I first pastored and do their homecoming. And the whole time, I had a great time, but I was sitting there the whole time going, man, I wish I was at my church. Amen? I'm serious. I love church. I love being preaching and stuff like that. But man, you want to be where you're supposed to be. Amen? Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Hey, don't you hate it when somebody blesses you, tells you to rejoice, and they're going through a harder time than you are? Don't you hate it when somebody, when you've been complaining and just going over, see, the people at Philippi are having church, and Paul writes them a letter from prison where he's probably going to die, and he tells them to rejoice. I don't like it when somebody does that to me. I'll be complaining and murmuring about some stuff that really don't even matter, and then somebody who's sick and dying or hurt or have more bad issues than I do say, man, God's good, ain't he? Amen. God's just so good. And you're sitting over there going, I was complaining all the way here about some stuff that really didn't matter. And I was complaining in my mind and my heart. Amen. Have you ever complained in your mind and your heart? That's almost worse than complaining out loud, ain't it? Because then you're having a conversation with yourself. I believe that's good, amen, because every once in a while, my worst enemy lives in here, amen? And all of a sudden, somebody write a letter or let you know from a sad situation, rejoice evermore. Paul was in a tough spot, and he's telling somebody who's probably got church issues to rejoice evermore. Somebody who's really struggling in prison, and not our prison, but a tough prison, right outside, they're building the gallows to hang you with, and writing you a letter, rejoice evermore. Amen. Golly, I love that, don't you? Amen. Paul's an encourager. That's what we need in the church more than anything else, are encouragers. Amen. People that would encourage each other. 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Amen, the concision. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know what he was talking about? Paul had planted this church, and all of a sudden the Jews came back in and started telling them they need to be circumcised and fall back under the law. It's good that you believed in Christ, but he said, now you need to get back up under the laws of the Jews. See, the only falling from grace there is or is to be had is if you try to go back to establish your righteousness through the law. Amen? A lot of people think you fall from sin, fall from grace if you fall back to sin. Literally not. It's when you try to go back and establish yourself righteous under God's old covenant. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people come in and they would say, you need to be circumcised. You know what Paul says to that? I have no confidence in any flesh whatsoever. You need to constantly remind yourself there is no confidence in anything you can do in your flesh to get to heaven. It's all through what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And when you put your trust and faith in that, that will set you free to do whatever you've been called to do. Man, that's just awesome, amen? Because I'm being honest with you, your human nature is waiting to get back up under a law or some kind of rule that you got to live by, amen? But God established that law inside of you through the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what he says right here. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. I only worship God because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Amen. That's the only reason I do what I do. And it's the only reason I can go and do the things. Preach, teach, sing, lead other people to Christ. That's the only way we can do it is through the Holy Spirit of God. It's not through anything I've done or will do. Thank God. Amen. I don't have any confidence when somebody comes up and says, well, Jesus is a good start. Well, that's the end of the conversation for me. Well, Jesus was a good start. No, Jesus is a good start. He's a good middle and He's a good end. Amen. He's all in all, amen? If He's not all in all, I put all my trust and faith on the wrong horse. I pushed it all in the middle and said, God, I'm all in on what You did in Calvary. I'm not going to try to do anything to get into heaven. I'm already in heaven, amen? You're already in heavenly places with Christ Jesus today. Now, some of you are sitting here going, well, wait a minute, are you just telling us we can live any old way? No. Because the Holy Spirit of God shouldn't allow you to live any old way. It should drive you. It should put you in a mode. We'll get into that in a minute. I want you to hear it though, all right? So we're circumcised in the Holy Spirit on the inside. Our heart's been cut away. God does a crazy thing. He does an open heart surgery on you without any scars other than Him getting the scars. I mean, He opens you up, pulls your old stony heart out, puts you in a soft heart, a tender heart, and you don't even know how to explain it when you're telling somebody. Somebody said, well, how'd you get it? One day, I talked to God because He was convicting me of sin. Next thing you know, He changed me somehow. I mean, it just kind of, I'm not the same. I don't know how to explain it. I can't tell you how He did it. All I know is I'm different. I mean, that's when somebody says, well, how do you know? Because I'm not the same anymore. There's a new thing in here. There's a new person. There's an indwelling. I love that. Amen. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, wherefore he might trust in the flesh, I more. What Paul said right there? If anybody could trust in the flesh, it'd be me. If anybody, then he's about to run a list on the thing. He's about to tell them, hey, if anybody could trust in the flesh, it might be me, all right? Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. He said, man, you need to get this. Everything I was in my own righteousness, I count it gone for Christ. It's a good thing. I didn't gain anything by that. So if you ever run into somebody who makes you feel less than a Christian than they are, you've got to remind yourself, you're equal in Christ Jesus. There are no big I's and little U's. There's nobody who's a big Christian and there's a little Christian. We are all in Christ Jesus. If you're in, you're in. If you're in the family of Christ, you need to say, praise God, I'm in. Now you need to we'll get into that in a minute, but you need to follow what God's put on your heart to do. Amen? But don't look around at other Christians and make you feel like they've been living right forever. Well, I was just, I just needed saving. There was nothing really else I needed. I just needed that one thing. Otherwise, I was good. Paul said, all the things that I was before I met Christ are no good to me now. They're obsolete. There's nothing I talk about. I run into people sometimes and they'll talk about other experiences they had in church before they got saved. That's a shame. Some people are in the church before they get into Christ. That's not possible. You can have your name on the church letter. You can be involved in a church, but until you get in Christ, you are no part of a church. That's the only church there is heaven. Amen? Being in Christ Jesus. That's the only church there is. And that's a good thing. Amen? I love the list, though. But what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Yet, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Boy, he puts them on a big list, a good high list right there, don't he? I count everything I was before I met Jesus as dung, fertilizer, mess, Stuff you scrape out, amen, and put in a pile. Oh, come on. That's what he said. All of his righteousness is without Jesus is a pile of mess. That's me too, amen. Remember before you got saved and you made those weird excuses? Well, if I'm trying to do better, I'm trying to get my life straightened out. There's no getting your life straightened out. There's no doing better outside of Christ Jesus. And Paul figured it out. He goes, man, y'all ain't going to believe this. Everything you were before Christ, count that, man, thank goodness I lost all of that I have won Christ Jesus. Now, I'm being honest with you. Sometimes we can do that. I know as a man, I do it all the time. Somebody said, well, did you ever play sports? Oh, and my mind start to run. Oh, if I'd have done this, if I'd studied in school, if I'd have paid attention, if I'd have done that, I could probably play in sports today. Amen? Oh, some of you guys, I'm about, yeah, you better be glad you smile before I come back there. Amen? So, oh, if I'd have done this, I'd have been an engineer. If I'd have done this, I'd have been a president. If I'd have done this, I'd have been whatever. Praise God. Let me tell you this. Whatever you met Jesus, whatever road you met him on, thank God for that road. Amen. I'm being honest with you. If you met him, I don't care if your life has been jacked up sideways. If you met Jesus on that road, and guess what? Some guy got every dream that you wanted, that you've ever dreamed in your life. Baseball player, basketball player, lawyer, prayer, whatever. If somebody got every dream that you ever dreamed and they don't have Christ, they are an utter failure. Amen. And if you met Jesus in the messed upest life there ever was, you're the biggest success in history. Your life is a success. We just count it different. But when you, wherever you meet Jesus Christ at, if you meet him, that's a successful life. I wouldn't want anything else. I wouldn't want anything else. If it meant me not meeting Jesus Christ on August 28th of 04, I wouldn't want anything else. I don't care if it come with everything I've ever dreamed of since I was this high. Because guess what? Nothing ever satisfies like Jesus. That I may win Christ. Verse 9. Now it's going to get gritty right here. Y'all ready? Because this is just gritty stuff. Paul writes some stuff that's real. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There's only one way that you can know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. That is to die. Amen? That is to die. Paul's saying, look, let me read this verse and I'm going to get back to you. I want you to hear this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made comfortable unto his death. Listen what he's saying. You know what he's saying? I want y'all to go back with me because y'all know this story. I don't have to preach it or tell it to you. Is Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Do y'all remember that? He met a risen Savior. He met a resurrected Jesus. And he outshined the sun. Amen? Y'all remember that? On a sunny day, on a noonday, I met someone who was brighter than the sun, and he knocked me flat on my face. I was blinded, and he told me all the things that I must suffer for his namesake. Now that don't sound like something, a resume you want to fill out, right? But praise God, let me tell you this, it's crazy weird. When you meet Jesus, no matter how you meet him, and no matter what he says to you, you're always looking for that again because it's the greatest feeling in your life. Amen. As soon as he met him, he said, hey, there's nothing in this world that compares to the one I met on Damascus Road. Nothing. Nothing I've ever experienced can compare to that meeting that I had with God, the risen Savior, Jesus, the risen Savior on the road to Damascus. I want that at whatever cost there is. And if I must suffer for the rest of my life to feel that for eternity, that is worth it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but if you're born again, it's the day that you met Jesus and you're saying, hey, everything's worth that day that I met Jesus. Man, if somebody said, well, man, what have you got out of this?
Man, I got more out of the first minute I met Christ than my whole life combined at the end or the beginning. I've got more in Christ Jesus than I can ever hope to ask for. I've got eternity in Him, and I ain't even got it. That's just the very beginning. That's just the meeting place. Man, I got a promise in my heart, and so do you if you're born again, that you're going to live in eternity with God. You'll never get sick. You'll never get old. You'll never die. Praise God, I love that about heaven. Heaven's sweeter of the stuff that ain't going to be there compared to the stuff that is. Oh, I can't wait to walk on streets of gold. I don't even know what that looks like. Amen? I really don't know. I mean, gold, gold streets, I'm not a flashy guy. Pearl gates, don't really care. I don't know. Homes, well, if it's never going to be day, I'm never going to get sick or tired, why would I want to go inside? But I mean, maybe, right? But praise God, how about never seeing a funeral home ever again? Hallelujah. Amen? I don't care if the crystal sea's like a trickling river. Don't really care. A trickling creek. I don't even care. But if you never have to say, well, where's the hospital? No, we don't have those. Amen? You'll never see one of those here. Where do I buy the flowers for the... We don't do that here. That's just not what we do. Oh, man, I'm so sad. No, because there's no tears here. Amen? Oh, some of y'all know this. When you get up and you're like, no more pain. My God. No, tell me. See, this ain't a shouting church, but some of you should have said hallelujah right there. Some of you should have said, getting up in the... I have some times now, I didn't know what it was. Didn't have a clue what my dad was talking about. He wanted to, just not like to get up. Amen. What are you talking about? Now it's like, oh, gosh. The first three steps, you're like, yeah, if I can get past them babies. Amen. Cool, it ain't never going to be that way. You ain't never going to have that issue. Man, God. I ain't never going to have to go to a doctor. You would go, where's the doctor? And they say, we don't have one. We don't need one. Well, I don't take that. That's the thing you had when you met Jesus. Man, you got all that on the first minute. When you said, God, forgive me of my sins. Amen. And be the Lord of my life. Yes. Man, you got all that. Amen. And I mean, this is just a smidge at a time. He says, this is but a vapor. I mean, the time we're living right now, I mean, when we get to heaven, man, they're going to be like, man, it was a blink, wasn't it? You think it's a long time? God's like, man, that's the shortest period of time there is. And in that period of time, you made the right decision in choosing Christ Jesus. Amen? Listen to this. It gets so good. Amen? Verse 10. That I may know Him, jump down to 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Man, we're shooting for the wrong things, guys. Sometimes we're trying to live longer here. We're trying to stretch our time out here when we should be really considering the fact that, hey, I can't die. I'm literally going to step into... God reduced death unto a shadow. Psalm 23 says, that I walk through the shadow of death. I mean, He reduced our biggest fear into a shadow. Amen? One day you're going to take your last breath and you're going to look up on the other side and God's going to say, beautiful in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. I was waiting on you to draw your last breath and He just lifts you up and you're in glory and you're sitting there going, I've been scared of this? Wow! Every person that's ever been deposited on the side of glory will be standing there going, man, we've been waiting on you. Amen? We've been waiting on you. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also apprehended of, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It is my favorite. You know why? Because it reminds me of the show Cops. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you going to do when they come for you? Bad boys. Right? And then they start slamming people and handcuffing them and throwing them and doing all the sticking the dogs. They just do it. It's fun. Never mind. It's not fun, but it's not politically correct, is it? But it is what it is, right? But they get apprehended. That means they got arrested, right? And when they got arrested, now this explains everything Paul's talking about, and it really will explain you if you've been saved. Amen. See, one day, Paul got arrested by Jesus. Now see, we think, I've heard people, I'm going to make things right with God, I'm going to do this. No, literally what happens is, God arrests you. I mean, he, first thing he does, a lot of times, he'll throw you to the ground. Hallelujah. Amen? He does. I mean, when you really get under the conviction of God, first time you find yourself flat on your face. Amen? Now, I'm just saying, you go with me. Put your hands up. First thing you do. I'm just saying. Paul said, remember he's on the road to Damascus? Falls on his face as if he's dead. His hands are up. He said, who are you, Lord? Right? You're in charge. I'm not. You're the boss. I'm not the boss. Who are you? Right? That's the same thing with us. We fall flat on our face a lot of times. Who are you? I can tell you're bigger than me. I know you want something. What is it? Amen. Your life. Amen. All of it. I want every bit of it. Well, I'm no good. I don't count. You shouldn't want somebody like me. You run all of them out. Whatever you want to say to God, because he knows it already. I'm not good enough. I didn't do it right. I'm a sinner. He's like, yeah, keep it coming, keep it coming. All right, when you get, but Lord, will you be the Lord of my life? Yes. And you know what? Then he's crazy, man. You'll love this kind of stuff. You know what he does after that? He stands you up, takes the handcuffs off, and says, tag, you're it. You don't believe me. It's true. Because the rest of your life on the face of this planet, if you've ever been arrested by Christ Jesus, all you want to do is get arrested again. All you want to do is get arrested again. I've been chasing after that thing that apprehended me ever since I got apprehended by it. I've been chasing after that thing that got a hold of me, and all I want to do is be with it forever. And every once in a while, my gosh, I love this. Every once in a while, I don't know why he does it, or I don't know how he does it, but he incarcerates me again. Amen? Amen? And it's when I can least expect it. I've been in cool services where I'm sitting there. I went to see this one preacher one time, came all the way from Africa. I said, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear him preach. I want to hear what a preacher from Africa sounds like. Got on the front row. I was waiting. A little girl got up there and said, before the preacher comes, this little girl wants to sing something. She got up there and sat down with her little guitar. She said, Jesus, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. It's like, I'm here for the preacher, man. I'm here, God, just chill. I'm here to see the preacher. Jesus. Jesus. Next thing you know, I'm in the floor crying out to God. I don't even know if the man spoke or not. Because the man from Africa didn't show up, but the man, God, did. Jesus showed up. I don't know if the preacher from Africa ever made it, but I know one thing. Jesus showed up in the house, and he apprehended me again, and he locked me down. And you know what he did? It was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. He put it, I don't know how he does this, but he got on the inside of me and started pulling some stuff out. I went to watch a guy do pottery not long after that, and it kind of explained it. There was some other stuff he wanted to get out of there, and he got it out of there, and he left me an empty shell laying on the ground, and everybody said, man, are you okay? I said, are you kidding? Am I okay? God just came by and arrested me again, and now I got to get up out of this floor, and I'm going to go after him again, again, again. Are you still out trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended you? That's the only thing that kept Paul going. Is he got arrested one day. Amen. Not rules, not laws, not legalism, not you have to. Listen, the church has been trying to do this for years. You need to be here. You need to do that. You need to pray more. You need to read more. Listen, praise God, if you ever get apprehended by God, you'll read this book because it's a love letter from God. If you ever get apprehended, you'll pray because you're talking to the one who saved your soul and you can communicate with him. If you ever really get apprehended, you'll come to church because this is the best eating place on the face of the planet. And nobody will have to try to convince you to get in because they'll have to try like crazy to keep you out. That's the kind of church people I want. I don't want people you have to talk into doing anything. I want the ones where you have to say, man, if we'd try to keep them out of here, we'd have to put Constantine wire down, we'd have to put some landmines out, and then they probably would still try to make their way in. Because once you've been apprehended by Him, all you want to do is feel it again, be around Him again, touch Him again, have Him touch you again. And you know one day, that you're going to stand in His presence like that forever. And you know, you couldn't even handle that. And nor could I. I can't wait till we get that new glorified body, because I'm telling you right now, if I get around God enough, I turn into a mess. Some of y'all ain't even seen that yet. Amen? That's a mess. Because it won't be no preaching. I'll just be, let's wait, maybe Kevin will come too in a little while. Amen? I know it might scare you, but hey, praise God. When you get in the presence of God, you're out of control. And it's a good thing. The church needs to get out of control a little bit more. I think for the last 20 years, the church has been in control, and we've been in so much control that God couldn't get in if He wanted to. If Jesus was to come back today, I wonder if we'd even let Him speak. What do you believe? How do you teach? What do you think? Well, I'm the resurrection. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Well, I just don't know with that hair and beard, you know. Y'all ready? Look at this. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not to myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all ready for a recipe? This is the whole reason I wanted to preach this in the last two verses. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Did you hear what He just said? I forget those things that are in the past. Amen. Boy, that's a mouthful, ain't it? You know what's weighting you down? All the stuff you did in your past or didn't do. And you keep bringing it up, and God's sitting there going, I don't want you to bring it up. I don't want to talk about it. I want you to let it go, because I already have. The things you keep talking about as your testimony of things that happened to you or the reason you didn't do this or that, let it go and press towards the mark. Because most of the time, you're looking in the rearview mirror trying to figure out what you didn't do while everything's going on in front of you that you can do. I'm telling you right now, y'all don't like this kind of preaching, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The church, hey, we need to lay aside every weight, the good and the bad. Some of us are still talking about how good the good old days were. I hate to tell you, sis, I hate to tell you, bro, but them days are over. We got what we got. Let's go after God with everything that we got. We keep talking about back in 1970. I don't live there. And nor do you. If you want revival, let's go after it. If you want to see souls saved, let's go after it. But praise God, don't tell me how good it used to be. Hey, let's talk about how good it's going to be. So sometimes you gotta sweep up. I learned this in the farming part of that. I'm not a farmer by any means, but I hung out with some. And you know what? Sometimes you got to get rid of last year's fruit if it's still laying on the ground. So if you don't, you'll have a bunch of rats and mess all around your fruit trees. Sometimes you just got to get rid of the old, and even though it was good stuff at one time. I could stay right there and preach for a decade. Well, we've done this and we used to do that. Well, praise God, let's do what God wants us to do, and let's not pretend to be somebody else. Well, I heard down there in town the First Baptists are doing this and it's working for them. Well, praise God, that's what God put on their heart to do. Why don't we do what we're supposed to do? Well, that's easy enough. Let's talk about the bad stuff. Well, I'm not very smart. I'm not educated. I wasn't raised in the right family. And I've always had a problem in church. There's church cliques. There's people in the church. They got their own agenda. Well, no kidding. Really? You just figured that out? Amen? If you want to be friends with somebody, walk up to them and say, hey, my name's so-and-so. And if they say, well, hey, good, go fly a kite, then you can actually say that. But until, stop making up excuses and just serve God. I get tired of it. There's cliques in the church. So, praise God, find the ones that do the things that you want to do and click up with them and do it.
If you really want to get radical, come grab me by the shoulder, pull me over there and say, these are the clique right here. Talk to them. I will. No, you ain't going to do that because you'd have to confront somebody directly. Amen. I'd rather talk over here and talk over there. Let's just go face to face and say, hey, here's the situation. Lay it aside. Amen. Most of the time, you know what it is? It's easier to complain and talk about what was wrong and what didn't work than to do anything. I'm not talking about what went wrong or how bad I was. You know what? I was a bad sinner. Absolutely. And if you want the record and you got time, I'll sit down and tell you most of it. Amen? I said most of it because some of it you couldn't handle. But I'm forgiven. And I'm moving on. If we want to drudge the past, we can stay in there. You're going to be busy doing that forever. Let's go on after God and do what we can do. Let's read that verse again and we'll close. Verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I like that part, don't you? He just said, I ain't apprehended yet. If you think you've apprehended it already, then you should be in glory. Amen? I'm still chasing it. I'm still chasing perfection. I'm still trying to hit the mark. Amen? But this one thing I do, man, if you can't, he just says one thing. Some of us trying to do 100. He just says one thing. What is it? Forgetting those things which are behind. Man, that's deep, ain't it? Forget about it. Just like, hey, not put it away. Forget about it. Just forget about it. Those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing towards the mark? Let me ask you something. When you die, do you want to be leaning forward or falling back? Do you want to be leaning forward or falling back? I don't mind the fall. I don't mind the mess up as long as I fall the right way. If I fall forward, I can get up, skint knees and all. I'll get up. But if I'm falling backwards, because I'm going backwards. Amen? What are you going to do? Amen? There's a lot of stuff you got to let go of. You got to press towards it. Let go of all the excuses. Let go of all the great things that happened and let go after God. That's a pretty good recipe, ain't it? How many of y'all been apprehended by Jesus? Are you trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended you? Let's all stand. They come get a song of invitation.